Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus' strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
Well, welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. This is episode 8, and excited to be leaning into this conversation with my good friend, Craig Etheridge. My name is Glenn Underhill. I am not only the pastor of spiritual development at Cross Creek Church, I also serve as the executive director for Disciple First, who is the host of this podcast. And so excited, again, like I just said, to be joined by my good friend, Craig Etheridge. We've been talking about a book that you recently wrote called The Disciple Making Leader. We have been unpacking over the last 7 episodes this whole idea of the fact that, you know, we don't just want leaders, we want disciple making leaders. And we believe that you can look into the life of Jesus and see that he had a very strategic process, a very strategic plan in place to not only make disciples who make disciples, but also to raising up disciple-making leaders who would continue to build a movement of multiplication, of multiplying disciples who would then carry on the work of ministry. And so, Craig, why don't you introduce yourself real quick and let us know who you are real quickly for those that might be their first time listening to our podcast.
Yeah, all right, Brother Glenn. Thank you, man. It's great to be here. Great to be in the studio and talking about this great stuff. I mean, we're excited about it. We're passionate about it. We're fired up about it. I'm Craig Etheridge, pastor at Cross Creek Church in the DFW area. Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas. And we're here talking about how do we raise up and aggregate more and more and more disciple-making leaders. And Glenn and I, you and I were, over a year ago, we were sitting here going, okay, what are we doing here? I mean, we keep recruiting people and we're kind of chasing after that superstar kind of leader, but we're not seeing that kind of leader really aggregate and raise up leaders around them. And we're like, man, you know, how do we create disciple-making leaders that move up? And really, we want leaders like this in every layer of the organization that are investing in training and developing other leaders like them that are walking with God, but and then serving in their giftedness. And we just came to realize that, you know, the best person that has ever done this is Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. And so we would just kind of everything ends up with go back to what did Jesus do, right?
It's kind of like, duh.
Duh, you know, I mean, dur, you know. So we're like, okay, let's go back. How did Jesus aggregate? I mean, he started with guys that were just pretty raw, right? I mean, these fishermen, they were pretty raw. And he was able to take them through a process that not only led them to grow spiritually as a disciple, but also to grow in their leadership so as to lead a disciple-making movement.
Yep.
And because he left it in their hands. And so we began to look at, we had been looking at the disciple ship process, the disciple growing process of Jesus, but we kind of started twisting it, kind of like you do a diamond. You know, you turn it, you know, and you see a different perspective of how Jesus developed disciple making leaders. And so that's really what this book is about, is how did Jesus develop disciple making leaders at every layer of the organization. So today we're talking about team leads.
Yeah.
And that's very exciting.
Yeah. We talked about self-leader last week. That, you know, as you're moving someone up the pipeline of leadership, it starts with that self-leader.
Right.
But then as they begin to move down the pathway, there may be, because of giftings and skills, moving now can move up on that pipeline to this next layer of what we call a team leader. So why don't we do it like what we did on our last podcast? Let's just start with, because I think the book does a great job of just kind of giving a definition. So I think maybe we should just start there, as we did even like our last podcast. How do you define a team leader?
Yeah. So team leaders are those who volunteer in your ministry. They're not asked they're volunteering your ministry, and who are leading a team of people to accomplish a ministry task. So they are given the task of leading a team. Now, this team could be anywhere from 2 to 3 people.
Right.
Or it could be up to, 10 people or so. You know, we wouldn't consider a team as like 50 people probably.
Right.
You know, so you have to consider span of care. You know, in our church, we really try to keep span of care no more than 5 or 6 or so people that you're having oversight to, just because it's very hard to oversee that many people. But let's say you've got a team of 5 or 6 people and they're making coffee, or they're greeting, or they're in the parking lot, or they're working with students, or they're working with children, or they're in communications, and they're taking pictures, they're photographers or videographers or whatever the case may be. There's scads of ways that you can have team leads. But basically, these are the people that are overseeing a team to accomplish a ministry task. And, Glenn, I really think that these are the people that set the tone for how ministry is done. Because if you have a great team leader, man, everybody just loves working there, right? They love volunteering there. They want to be a part of it. That team leader creates a culture that is infectious and contagious. But if you have a bad team leader, people are jumping ship like crazy. I remember when I was in college, I had 2 team leaders that really stood out to me. One worked on the highway department one time when I was in college. Man, talk about a hard job. I mean, it's 110 degrees out there in the Texas heat, and we're shoveling hot mix. It's 450 degrees, and this is terrible. And the guy that led the team that I was with, excuse me, he was a man. He was leathered by the sun. Man, he had been in. He was a short guy. He was probably about 5'2" or 5'3". Man, real thin. He'd been in the highway department his whole life. I mean, his skin was just leather, being outside all the time. Had no teeth. Like the end of his chin nearly touched the tip of his nose, and he would pack his mouth full of tobacco. And every time he talked, it would just come out. And this guy, every other word was a profanity. I mean, I was shocked at the creativity of how he could link certain words together and actually make a sentence. And I was like, wow, how does he put all those profane words together? It was impressive. But he was just terrible. He was always negative. You college boys, we're going to work you in the ground. Yeah, I mean, he was just terrible. I could not wait for that summer to be over. Mm. But I also remember when I was in high school, I was working at a clothing store, and Max was the leader of that clothing store. And Max took an interest in me. He knew my parents. He gave me this job. He coached me up on how to match clothes together. He taught me how to run the cash register. He even put me in charge of some things and let me reorganize some of the stocking areas. And then at one point, he let me close up and open up. And I mean, here I'm in high school, and I had a lot of responsibility. And he trusted me. He invested in me. Even when I was having dating issues, I would go over to his house and he'd pray for me and encourage me. I mean, I look back at those 2 different team leads, and they could not be more worlds apart. Mm. One of them didn't care about me. One did. One was gave me opportunity, and one didn't. One really wanted to see me do well, and the other one just wanted to push me down. And I think that you probably have had the same type of thing. That team leader really sets the tone for how that whole team functions.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a really good spot right here to mention the fact that a team leader in any church might look a little bit different than it might look who we have in those functions, in those roles, might look different from one church to the next. But this idea that is someone who's giving some leadership to a group of people. So in our context, that would be a small group leader.
Yep.
Does have some of those responsibilities because they're giving oversight to that connect group and leading that. And they have people who have various roles within that group, but they're giving leadership to that team and to the total group. It also could be the person that's ahead of our a captain on our greeting team and the parking lot team. I know we have a guy here who does a phenomenal job. He's a great team lead on our, we have shuttle shuttles because of our parking lot and situation. And so, you know, he's got a team of people that are working for him, and he, you know, he works that really well and gets them where they need to be doing what they're doing. So, you know, it's just going to look a little bit different based on what your context looks like. But you're right that it is very critical that that these team leaders be really good at what they're doing, because they can make or break that experience for not only the others that are serving underneath them, but also those that are, you know, that are coming in and out of whatever particular piece that might be for the overall mission. So when we think about that, let's go back to this idea. What are some of the distinctives of a team leader that would be important for us to consider as we're kind of taking a deeper dive into this team leader position?
Yeah, that's really important. And this is where moving from a volunteer in a ministry into a team lead role really, Glenn, requires you to kind of shift your thinking a little bit. Every time you move up to a different level in the leadership pipeline, you're having to shift your focus. And as, for example, as a volunteer, you're just there to do the job. Okay, so if I'm a volunteer in the coffee ministry, I'm the one brewing the coffee, I'm the one transporting it, I'm the one pouring it up and handing it out, and that's super important. But if I'm a team leader over a team of coffee people, I may not be as focused on doing the work of getting the coffee transporter handed out, but I am more interested in how we work as a team together to do the work. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect
sense.
And
so that's a little bit different. Now I'm thinking, okay, do I have the right people in the right spot? You know, how well are they interfacing with people? How well are they working as a team? Where are the problems that we need to have in working as a team? So the team leader is really focused primarily on the team and how the team is doing and how the team is developing, and the individuals within the team, how are they doing? Am I shepherding them well? Am I caring for them? That kind of thing. Than just getting the coffee handed out.
Right.
And one of the things that is a big challenge is that a lot of times if you're really good at doing something, if you're a doer, and then you're put in a leadership position, you'll kind of knock that person aside. Well, let me show you how to do it. And then you're like doing it for them. And they're like, well, then why am I even here?
Yeah. And that's a danger, right?
That is a danger.
And that's where, you know, there has to be, you know, again, like you said, there has to be a shift from doing to leading. And it might take a little bit of time for that to kind of work itself out, but there has to be a willingness to say, it may not look exactly how I would have done it,
right,
in the sense of, hey, exactly like I did it, but I'm leading through them and I'm going to encourage and strengthen and equip them to do what they do, really, really well. So again, I think that first one of the shift from doing to accomplishing the work is, and to me, that is, again, a giant shift.
Yeah.
And one that will need a constant, you know, constant watch and constant being as the next layer up. They're looking for that and making sure that's really happening, and that person's not just ending up doing all the work and letting the other, you know, the other self leaders just kind of fumble along and
or
watch,
stand around and watch.
Yeah,
that's what ends up happening.
And
then they're like, so, why am I here? You don't need me. And so, yeah, a shift from doing the work yourself to accomplishing it through the team. That's a big distinctive. Ministry can be lonely. Now more than ever, pastors are feeling the pressure of raising expectations among their members. Pastors are expected to be stellar preachers, effective evangelists, thoughtful counselors, courageous change agents, astute business managers, all the while steering the church to accomplish its mission. And all of this can be overwhelming at times. Wouldn't it be great to have someone in your corner, someone who understands what you're facing and can help you make the wise decisions that lead the church to make disciples of all nations? Disciple First is here to help. We can provide you with personalized coaching that will help you develop and sustain a healthy movement of multiplying disciples. Our coaching includes a free evaluation to identify your church's health and your current sticking points. Also, a roadmap for sustained health and a team of proven leaders that will give you customized counsel to help you move forward. Listen, you don't have to be alone in ministry. Let's start talking today. For more information and a free ministry evaluation, go to disciplefirst.com/coaching. That's disciplefirst.com/coaching. Let me give you another one, and that is that the team leader focuses on the team they lead, not just what needs to be done. So I kind of alluded to this before, but you're really thinking about, you know, are they okay spiritually? Am I having spiritual conversations with some of the things we talked about in our last podcast? Am I having spiritual conversations with every member of the team? Do I know where they stand spiritually? How are they going? What's going on at home? What are they dealing with? How am I caring and shepherding them? That's a really important function of the team leader. And many times that can get, unfortunately, I don't know why. I mean, as a church, you would think we'd be on it. But so many times we're so focused on the task that we're not really focused on the people doing that task. And the team leader's job is to really not only make sure the task is getting done, but make sure the people doing that task on their team are being well shepherded and cared for.
Yeah.
Can you think of, Glenn, I'm kind of putting you on a spot here, but can you think of somebody that does that well, or you in times when you've seen somebody really do that well, where they really care for their team super well?
Yeah. You know, I think about, like one of our Connect group leaders. I mean, he's really fantastic about letting each member of that leadership team in their Connect group do their area of ministry really well, and he doesn't assert himself into it. He's there. He's available. He's watching. He's observing. He works in his, he does his lane, but he allows the expression of those leaders, the hospitality team, to do their hospitality well on Sunday mornings. The care team, you know, he's making sure they're actually caring for people, and he's following up and making sure that care team leader is making sure care is happening well in that group. The teachers, I mean, they have a specific lead teacher that works on the teaching team, but he's coordinating with that teacher to make sure, hey, you know, do we have the schedule for who's teaching, and just making sure that those things are functioning well, and so on and so forth. He is fantastic, and he does it super well, and does a really good job. I think about we have some folks in our kids ministry who are in the nursery area, and they might be a team lead in a particular room, and they're doing a really good job of making sure that those people that are volunteering in there are, you know, caring for babies well, and as babies are brought to the door, that moms and dads are greeted warmly, and then they're constantly encouraging them, hey, you did a great job with that, or hey, you know, next time let's think about this, or you know, when those parents come back, they're constantly evaluating, watching all of that, and really helping lead their team to doing that ministry task really well.
Yeah, I think that, again, the team lead is a make or break. And so who you put in that team lead position is really important. And so probably the best place to look for team leaders are high capacity volunteers, people that are volunteering in that role. They seem to have a sense of excellence or upbeat. You're looking at them, who could step up and lead this team. Maybe you have them just do it for a week or two, hey, I need you to step up and lead this team for this week. You know, I'm going to be doing something different. And it gives you a chance to observe them. But the best volunteers that are passionate and they could step up and give leadership to that team. Mm-hmm. But then when they do, you got to make sure they're not doing all the work themselves, that they're really shepherding the team themselves. And then the third thing is that the team leader really creates health and cooperation within the team that they lead. In other words, like you described, they're making sure everybody's doing their lane. They make sure the work is getting done. They're not heavy-handed. They're encouraging. They're coaching when needed, but they're allowing the people under them to flourish. That's what a great team leader does. In fact, in the book on page 138, I really contrast good team leaders and bad team leaders. And I'm not going to read through all of them. There are several here. But just to give you a little flavor of it, a good team leader organizes the work of the team. A bad team leader is disorganized and frantic. Mm-hmm. Okay, a good team leader invites input from the team. A bad team leader thinks their way is the only way. You know, a good team leader delegates clearly and appropriately. A bad team leader does the job themselves. You know, a good team leader elevates the team members to higher levels of leadership. A bad team leader holds people down. And it just goes on and on and on like that. But I think, Glenn, it's maybe good for those listening to us to say, okay, who are the team leads in our different departments? Can I write their names down? Do we know who the team leaders are? And then how well are we training these people? What are we doing to recruit new team leaders? What are we doing to assess their ability? What are we doing to prepare them before they step in that leadership role, to warn them about these pitfalls that they might fall into? How do we make sure, continue to follow up with them and support them to make sure that they're leading their teams well, just like you described? And when you have a great team leader, everything rises. If you have a bad team leader, everybody jumps ship.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as I was thinking about our last episode when we were talking about the self-leader, a good team leader is also involved in the recruiting. So
right.
You know, as a department leader or organizational leader, if you're doing a good job of raising up a team leader, you have built-in recruiting.
That's
recruiters.
Right. That's
would
right.
Probably be a better way to say that. A built-in recruiter.
Right. That's right.
Right. Who's, man, they're passionate about the team. They're passionate about getting those areas filled that need to be immediately addressed. And they're out helping make that happen there because they have ownership. They don't have a renter mentality. They have an ownership mentality that
right.
says, man, we want to see this ministry really serve at its optimum, and man, I'm out because I'm vestedly interested in seeing this thing work really well for the kingdom and for the overall purpose of what we're doing.
Yeah, so it just goes to think about, you know, who do you have in these team lead roles right now? Are they functioning this way? Maybe you need to just tweak it. Maybe you need to be coaching. Maybe they need to listen to this podcast and say, hey, listen to this podcast. Let's talk about it. That'd be a great thing for you to do with your team leads. How well are you engaging them, shepherding them, investing in your team spiritually? Are you making sure you're not doing the work for them, that you're organizing it so that they can do their work with joy, anticipating what the problems are? Are you being a good team leader? That is where you probably need to begin. And then as you're looking for more team leaders, you're saying, okay, what volunteers really could kind of surface, right, that we could put in there, or maybe pair them up with a good team leader, let them observe for a period of time and then let them go on their own. So this is really the work of ministry. You know, sometimes I'll talk to guys and go, well, you know, I don't want to do all this kind of stuff because I just want to do the ministry. And I'm like, hello, this is the ministry.
Right.
This is it. This is what we're doing. We're working, we're empowering, we're equipping the saints for the work of ministry, right? And so helping recruit and train and develop a great team leaders is a big, big part of that. And Jesus really is our premier example of how to do that.
Absolutely. And I think he had a certain set of things that he was really trying to do in order to develop these kind of leaders. In fact, I think you've identified, again, about five areas that he did really well. So what's the first one that Jesus did as he was really trying to develop a team leader?
Yeah, one of the things Jesus really did well, I mean, he was just so good at this, was casting vision for his team. I think about it in Matthew 4, 18 and 19, when he walks along the Sea of Galilee and he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You know, most of the people think that that was the first time Jesus ever met these people. Of course, we know that Jesus had met them a year and a half earlier, and they've been following and fishing, you know, for about a year and a half. But now Jesus was calling them to a higher level of commitment. And so this idea of follow me and I will make you fishers of men, and that's just a creative way to say that, right? They were fishing for fish, but he was basically saying, you've got more to offer. You know, you are made for more. And Jesus had a way of casting a bigger picture. And so I think that if you want to develop great team leaders, you need to be sure you're constantly casting vision to them and in turn helping them cast great vision to their team. Hey, this is what we're doing. This is what we're about. This is why this matters. And constantly keeping the big picture in front of them so they don't get discouraged by only looking at the little task in front of them.
Yeah, it's so good. And I think vision casting, again, super important, and it's a skill to, you know, be developed, but they do need to have that vision. What's the second thing?
Yeah, second thing Jesus did was he led his team to engage with people. And this is found in Luke chapter 4 and 5. And we, Dan Spader is the one that taught us this years ago, that in Luke 4 and 5, Jesus leads his team out on these fishing, what we call fishing trips. He just said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He leads them out in these fishing trips where they are engaging with people and they're seeing miraculous things happen. And so here is Jesus as a team leader, right, at this point, casting vision and then leading them to do this task in such a way that they see God at work. And I think that a great team leader needs to lead their team and engaging with people. So in other words, you're not abdicating. Like if I'm the coffee team lead guy, I'm not saying, okay, I'm going to go over here and eat this donut. All right, y'all go get the coffee.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know, or I'm going to sit back and y'all handle the babies and I'm going to go get on my phone and scroll through social media. No, I'm engaged and we're doing this together and I'm kind of coaching and celebrating when they do things well. I remember, Glenn, when one time I took my phone to the Apple store, right? And so I'm sitting here, you know, it's got to go to the Genius Bar. And so I don't know how smart you have to be to be on the Genius Bar, but.
Well, I need a genius to help me with my phone because I don't always know how to make it work, right?
I can't do anything. Right. And so I'm sitting here talking to this girl that is helping me. She's probably in her mid-20s. And I'm like, man, I bet it's really, you know, hard to know how this stuff works. She goes, no, not really. And I'm like, really? Okay, I feel old now. But I said, so how did you even get in this? She goes, well, I saw online that they were looking for somebody. So I went to a one-day training. And I'm like, that's it? Just one-day training? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. I'm like, wow, that seems like a lot. Then what happened? Well, then they put me in a store and they put me next to a trainer. And the trainer had the blue shirt and lanyard on and I just came in my regular street clothes and I just followed them for a while. And then, and I listened in on every conversation. And then at some point they said, okay, it's time for me to put on the blue shirt and lanyard. And my trainer put on their street clothes. And then he kind of followed me and listened in and kind of coached me in between. And then pretty soon I was really able to be a trainer then as well. And I just thought, you know, that's exactly how Jesus did it. You know, Jesus was modeling. He was there engaging with them while they're with the people, coaching in between conversations. That's what a great team leader does. Mm. He's engaged with the team in ministering to people, coaching in between, casting vision, helping them be incredibly successful, cheering them with the wins. That's what that whole Luke 4 and 5 was all about.
Yeah, so good. So you have those two, and casting vision and, you know, engaging his team with people, and they're seeing that happen. The third thing you say is that Jesus challenges his team to go deep in prayer and God's word.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, what do you mean by that?
Well, you just see this in Mark 1, 35 through 39. I mean, now they're engaging with people, right? He's in the mix with all these people. The crowds are growing, and then they get up in the morning, they can't find Jesus. You know, where's Jesus? And he's off privately before the sun comes up in prayer, hearing from his Father, and then kind of redirecting, hey, we need to go over here, we need to go over there. And he's modeling for them prayer. He's modeling for them spirit dependence. He's modeling for them being obedient to the word. And so, man, that's a great challenge for team leaders. Are you modeling with your team to pray over certain situations, to hear from God's word? Sometimes this is as simple as, hey, team leader, you need to huddle your team right before everybody gets there, share something out of your quiet time so that you're modeling for them, that you're in the word, praying for them. If there's a crisis, if there's trouble, if there's a conflict in your group, you're huddling them up, praying together for God to give direction. Man, that is just so different than just allowing those volunteers just kind of be on their own. You're really shepherding and modeling for them what it looks like to take your problems and your cares and your concerns to the Lord. And that will go well beyond just the work they do at the church. That will go well into how they deal with problems at home and in their jobs and so on.
Yeah, that's really good too. So this fourth one is to encourage, you know, Jesus encouraged his team to take steps of faith.
Yeah. We see that in Luke 5 where Jesus tells Peter, in the midst of this whole flurry of activity, he's with his team, they're engaging with people, he's modeling prayer for them. He challenges Peter to push off. You know the story in Luke 5 where he pushes off and says, push off and throw out your nets for catch. I'm like, Jesus, you know, that happens at night. It doesn't happen in the morning. We know that story, but Peter is obedient. He takes a step of faith, and that's when the miraculous catch happens. And of course, Glenn, you and I have had many conversations about what we really think is going on there in Peter's heart and life, and he just needed to be – that's often called the second call of Peter. But Jesus challenges them to take steps of faith. And I'm just wondering, you know, as a team leader, how can you challenge your team to take steps of faith? Maybe it's within the context of the ministry, you know, maybe it's taking a step of faith to step up into a next leadership role. You know, it could be something like that. Or, you know what, it could be you just take your team off campus one Saturday and you hand out a meal in a homeless shelter and challenge them to share their faith. You know, that doesn't have anything to do immediately with their job at the church, their volunteerism at the church, but it is stretching them spiritually. And just think if you had a team leader that cared about me, you know, was stretching me and growing me beyond just what I do at the church, how much better I would feel about my own spiritual growth and my contribution. And so Jesus did this really well, constantly stretching his team to take steps of faith. And then this last one is that Jesus really cultivated his team with a shepherd heart for people. You know, we don't want to ever be so task focused that we're not people focused. And I can be handing out coffee, but if I see that person looks like they've had a hard day, to say, hey, how can I be praying for you? You know, looking for these opportunities as a greeter or a coffee maker or people in the parking lot or whatever areas you're ministering to as a team lead, model for them how to shepherd people well and be attuned to the needs of people. In Mark 3, we see this with Jesus. He goes in the synagogue and he sees a man with a shriveled hand and he calls the guy up and he's going to heal this, but he knows that that guy was really planted by the Pharisees to get him to do a miracle on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, you know, is it right to heal somebody on the Sabbath? And it says in this account that Jesus saw the hardness of their heart and it made him angry. I mean, think about that. You know, what does Jesus think about my heart when it's hard? And all of us can get a hard heart. Yep. You know, we can just get so focused on our minute detail that we lose the shepherding heart for people. And Jesus had a shepherding heart for people. And if we're going to be more and more like Jesus, we got a team leads need to lead out in seeing that every person matters to God. Every person's important to the Lord. Every person's an image bearer, and they deserve to be cared for well. And these are some things that a team leader can really work on and develop in their team. And man, if every team leader did that, Glenn, wow, wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, absolutely.
That'd be a game changer. It would change the whole culture of your church, not from the platform, but in every team. Now they're beginning to get this infectious shepherding heart, you know, pursuing, growing, all that's happening from the bottom up, not from the top down. So many times as leaders, we think it's all the change is going to come from the top down.
Right.
When actually most sustainable change comes from the ground up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like this because again, it's just real practical. You know, what are some skill sets that as I'm going to be developing a team leader, what are these skill sets, these important skill sets? They got to be a good vision caster. We got to give them a skill set to how to really engage people at a high level, that they, you know, that they have a skill to be in God's word and to pray, and that they're, because you don't want their doing to supersede their being, right?
That's exactly
right. And being present with God. And then you want to make sure they're taking, you know, how to take steps of faith and to stretch, to stretch their faith, as well as really have that shepherd's heart for people. Yeah. Because it, at the end of the day, you know, that matters a whole lot, that really we shepherd does. People well. So again, I hope this has been a great conversation. Craig, thanks again for joining me on this podcast. Again, I want to encourage you, if this is stimulating something inside of you, I want to encourage you to go online. You can go to disciplefirst.com and get the book, The Disciple Making Leader, or you can go on Amazon and order it off Amazon as well. Again, that's The Disciple Making Leader by Craig Etheridge. And again, Craig, thanks for being here in studio, and look forward to our next episode as we continue this conversation about making disciple-making leaders.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast, brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple-making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.